and I just learned the best spell of all.
What's that?
Sleep.
Greetings, listeners. Welcome to My Alchemical Bromance. This episode is almost entirely about beer. Like, we do not talk about the occult very much at all. But it's fun because interviewing brewers is fun. So I would really like to hear some listener feedback. Listen to the episode, and if you can't make it all the way through because there's no occult stuff and you're like, I don't give a shit about beer, then please send me feedback. You can do this with the comment page on our website, myalchemicalbromance.com, or you can leave a comment on the episode itself, or you can tweet at me or whatever.
Better yet, write it on the back of a $20 bill and mail it to my house.
Not his house, though. My house. Shipping address will be in the show notes. Okay, welcome back to My Alchemical Bromance. This is Eric Arneson, and I'm here with co-host Nathan Neff, and we are at Silver Falls Brewing in Silverton, Oregon, and we're joined by Eric, I forgot your last name already,
Drew Liner.
Eric Drew Liner, who's one of the owners and brewers here, and Jose Ramirez, who is an assistant manager and assistant brewer, and also our chauffeur, Austin.
Driver.
I had to bribe him to get us out all the way out here.
All the beer I could drink.
Yeah.
It's going to really pay off.
So Eric, tell us, like, how old is this place? You were established in 2015.
So technically we got our TTB license December 29th of 2015.
Mm-hmm.
So we started actually brewing commercially, 4 days later. So we've been in production for just over 2 years now, and the ale house, which we finally had a location, we've
mm-hmm.
Opened since last May, so we're coming up pretty close on our 1 year anniversary of our ale house.
Cool. So this place that we're in here is the ale house, not the brewery.
Yeah. So this is Silver Falls Brewery Ale House, and we have already started the process of expanding and actually putting in a production system here on site.
Mm-hmm.
Currently, the brewing facility is on an off-site location. Also known as my house, which is in a big shop that we converted in partially into the brewery, and so it's we call it a private production facility.
How many barrels?
We built a small pilot system, so it's a 1 barrel kettles and then 2 barrel fermenter. So a typical brew day is a double batch for us.
Uh huh. Wait, so hold on. You said 1 barrel?
Yeah.
Wow. So you're like a nano brewery.
Pretty much a nano brewery, yes.
And then are you gonna expand into, like, when you do the one here, is it gonna be?
So the one that we're gonna put here is gonna be kind of like the show brewery, so it's gonna be a 10 barrel system.
Then when you do that, then we'll probably start seeing your beer in other places.
Yes.
It's perfect timing.
Perfect timing.
Describe what we're hearing.
This is the noon bell in downtown Silverton.
Okay.
It's not an air raid. It's
just marching the noon time. Sign.
I mean, what are the planes then? What are the?
Yeah. Welcome to Silverton. It freaks everybody out that's not from here. So.
Okay, so you're saying that the brewery that's going in here is 10 barrel, and then once that happens, then we're going to start seeing your beer in other places.
So then we anticipate that we're going to probably have a whole fleet of somebody distributing and doing sales and stuff and getting out back, pretty much back out into the rest of the state. You know, we were in production for 2 years, but the first year and a half we were all self-distributed,
mm-hmm.
making small cakes here and there, Wilsonville, Canby, Oregon City. So it was real hit and miss to find our beer. But since we opened up the ale house, everything that we produce is going straight through here. So we're excited to be able to expand and be able to get back out into the other establishments around the state.
I'm looking at, like, the number of beers you have up there. You've got, what, like 12 of your own beers on tap,
yeah.
And it's a 1 barrel system, and you are doing some distributing. Are there any hours of the day when you're not brewing? Is this the only time that you've ever not brewed since 2015?
So, basically, yeah, there's always something going on every day.
Uh-huh.
especially once we open up the ale house, there's a lot of time that we put in here.
Mm-hmm.
But Andrew Fox, who's my business partner and the other head brewer, we kind of just keep him in the brewery working every day.
Uh-huh.
So we let him out every once in a while.
Once in a while.
And then Jose, we kind of make Jose go in and help him when he can.
Mm-hmm.
And we kind of, between the three of our heads, we've been able to really come up with pretty efficient and be able to come up with some really great beers.
Yeah, well, I think we should talk about the beer part of it then, because this thing that I'm drinking is really good. What am I drinking? I'm drinking the
Cozy Cabin,
and it's a winter warmer with like some cinnamon and stuff in it, but it kind of reminds me of Anchor Christmas beer. Only it's way smoother, and it's delicious. And I'm kind of wondering, actually, Nate was asking on the way here, do you guys take water right out of Silver Falls and brew it back?
Is that the secret?
Is that the secret? Is it illegal water?
You go off the record if you want to say yes.
Yeah, no, we're pretty fortunate here in Silverton to actually have pretty good brewing water. We don't have to treat it as much as Portland does.
Right.
We've got kind of pretty much a blank slate to start out with for a water profile.
Well, it's nice. I feel like, since most of the beer I drink is brewed in a city, I don't spend a whole lot of time thinking about the effect the water has, but it totally makes beer have kind of a roundness and a smoothness to it that you don't get in a lot of city beers. So you guys are lucky.
We don't have to put too much effort into filtering and adding stuff to it. So.
I'm kind of looking forward to trying the IPA and seeing how that...
Plus the ample parking, I say, in a small town. Ample parking out front is phenomenal.
Is it always like that, or do you guys run out of parking sometimes?
Usually, you can always find a spot.
Yeah.
So you don't have to walk four blocks.
You're really bringing a lot to this conversation.
I'm sold. Well, I don't know. After this podcast, might be a little bit difficult to find parking.
Yeah.
Well, he's the driver. That's what's important.
That's right.
It's the aspect of beer drinking I'm most concerned about.
I feel like you're staying in character.
Unfortunately.
Yeah. Where's your closest brewery competition? Who would be the next closest brewery? If we were going to walk outside...
Who's your Shelbyville?
Yeah, who's your Shelbyville?
So we're in Silverton, so is Seven Brides Brewing, and they're probably, half a mile away.
Yeah, I've heard of them.
Down the main drag. And then, they're not, I wouldn't say they're, like a competition with us. We work together, we run ideas past each other, or they help us out, we'll help them out. I look at it as, we're making the pie bigger, not the slices, smaller. Especially, kind of helping Silverton, become that type of a beer destination as well. Just like what kind of Salem's into it for a few years now with a lot of breweries popping up and that becoming an actual real good craft beer scene. We got two breweries in town and we just kind of help each other out, and it just brings more people to Silverton. So,
where did you get started with brewing? Did you start at another brewery, or were you just a home brewer who was like, my system's gotten too big, I'm probably breaking the law, I should get a license?
Yeah, it was with the 100-gallon
a year
minimum. Yeah.
Might have been pushing that. I started out just small home brew, all grain system.
Mm-hmm.
A couple buddies from work kind of got me into it. Just really dove into researching a lot, reading a lot, visiting other breweries, and then finally getting my own little system set up. And I, a couple friends, we kind of came up with this idea to start a brewery, and so we started what they call Belgian Underground Beers, which turns into they're a beer brand now, so they have someone else brew the beer, which is Seven Brides.
Uh-huh.
And so I branched out because I still wanted to build something with my hands and get some science background and mechanics background. So it's I wanted to actually build something. And so I left that company and then started Silver Falls Brewery and just pretty much one day just decided to, that I needed to quit my career and go full-time brewing. So.
How much of your system did you build? Did you, like, do your own fabrication for the metal parts? Like, do you have, like, a big...
Well, we got licensed on, like, your kind of a, you know, your upscale homebrew setup of using, you know, 15-gallon as your kettles, and that's what we got licensed on, is doing 10 gallons at a time.
Oh, geez.
So that system, yeah, was pretty much handmade.
Yeah.
Even to, you know, like the glycol chillers, we kind of just pieced together and built ourselves. So that ingenuity, that kind of being crafty and to build it, is, it goes a long way. And, I mean, you'll see, I talked to other brewers and just how when they started out, it's like, yeah, you had to get creative just to get by.
Oh, yeah.
Before you could start getting, you know, the mainstream equipment. And
it's funny, you know, I mean, I've been around breweries for a long time, and if you stop paying attention, like, I stopped paying attention for a little while, and then you come back, and then all of a sudden there's all these, like, people building stuff for breweries commercially, and you're kind of like, oh, people, you don't have to do everything yourself now. But yeah, that's kind of cool. So you started off, when you got licensed, you just had, like, a 10-gallon system.
So it was basically a homebrew setup.
Jeez. Man, that's a lot of brewing.
Yeah, it was a lot of brewing, you know. It was, we started out using, you know, carboys and just 5 gallons, you know, 2 kegs at a time. And so it's like, you know, we'd go deliver it to, you know, a tap room or something, and it's like that 5 gallons was gold to us, because it's like, man, that just took a lot of time just to make 10 gallons.
Yeah. So you just had, like, Corny's. That's great.
Life work goes into this batch you got to deliver.
Yeah, but then, like, you know, they call back a week later. It's like, hey, we're out. It's like,
oh. You can't even do a full keg with one brew. That's so one barrel must feel huge now. You're kind of like, wow, this is like 2 kegs.
Yeah. It's like, wow, this is great. And then it's like, yeah, this isn't working anymore. It's we're going through too much beer. But
I guess,
so right before we got licensed, you know, it's like, learning and diving into everything and just realizing, it's like, you know, I can't brew this by myself. And, and I started kind of looking around the other breweries. It's like, most of them, how they got started, it wasn't a single person that was doing it solo. So they always had some kind of help. And so that's where Andrew and I had been kind of talking, and I was like, I just want to get the paperwork done and just get licensed. And but so he joined the company, and he was a huge part of the company to grow. So he brought a lot.
Cool. What do you think is the best beer that you make? Like, which one do you feel every time it comes off, you're sort of like, this is a work of art. This beer, this is not business. This is wizardry.
You know, it's, most of our beers, you know, we're always trying to make it better and better and better. I think the one beer that really we kind of put together, you know, brewing it 10 gallons, and then we, you know, kind of had to scale the recipe up and, you know, brewed it in a 2-barrel batch, is our Winter Fall Stout, where I don't think we've really changed much in that recipe. And every time it comes out, it's just like, this is perfect.
Yeah,
it's one of those beers that you brew once and you don't have to tweak it much. And so that one there is one of my favorites to brew, and it's one of my favorites to drink.
I'm gonna do that one next.
Highly recommend.
I'm sold on that one. And then let me ask you about, so you've only got one lager up there, right? And that's the 1933
Pilsner. Yeah.
And so it's, I mean, with a
delicious, by the way,
is it?
Yeah,
I believe it.
I'm assuming the 1933 comes from something around the lifting of the Prohibition repeal.
Well,
totally unrelated. Totally unrelated.
Yes, yes. Yeah, that's why.
His house address is actually 1933.
So actually, like, 1933 was, you know, our name, Silver Falls Brewery, came kind of like from Silver Falls State Park, which has the big waterfalls, and, you know, it's one of the biggest state parks. What is the biggest state park in the state, and it's just, it's so unique. And so we tried to capture some of the elements of that park and incorporate it into the brewery, you know, our image to naming our beers. And so 1933 was the actual year that the state bought the 100 acres around South Falls, which is the popular one that everybody goes and sees. And that just kind of started it. And then 1935 is when it became dedicated as a recreational area, and then just continued to grow, and more property was purchased after that. So Yes, it was the end of Prohibition year as well, but it was also the year that the state bought the land at where Silver Falls started.
Probably wasn't a coincidence.
Yeah, I don't know.
Gotta have a nice park to drink your beer at.
Yes.
And when you do the lagering, with the one barrel system, lagering can tie up part of your system for a really long time, right? Like, how long do you lager your Pilsner before you release it?
So we lager it for about 4 weeks, and that's usually in a bright tank that's just tucked away in the cooler. It takes about 2 weeks to ferment out, and then we transfer it after a cold crash, and then we just keep it into a bright tank and lager it for, we try to do as long as we can, but sometimes it runs out here, and it's like, we might push it and pull a sample, and we're like, let's pull it. But yeah, usually about 4 weeks as we lager that.
And is it a pretty classic Pilsner? What kind of hops do you use?
So, we use the German variety of Seyaz.
Cool. I like that
stuff.
And
then we use the German malt.
Mm-hmm.
So, Weyermann Pilsner malt.
Nice.
So, very traditional. It's kind of like, every beer that we wanted to brew we wanted it more kind of like a traditional style instead of throwing like a Northwest spin on it and over hopping it or anything like that. It's just, we just wanted to make quality, clean beer that fits the profile of what each style is.
It's very pretty. I mean, I'm looking all the way across the table at it, but from here, it's very pretty.
Yeah, it's very pretty. And it is exactly what it said. It's delicious. It's not like traditional Oregon nasty hopped crap. It's very crisp.
Cram a bunch of blackberries in there.
Yeah. Throw some random specialty malts or something.
Yeah.
Good. Well, it's what I would expect to order all over Europe as a Pilsner.
Yeah.
Have that craft brewing taste to it.
Great. Man. So when are you guys going to start doing taster trays?
Well, so Andrew and I, we don't come, our background's not into like the service industry or restaurant or anything. And so my idea going into it, opening up, is like, try to keep it simple.
Mm-hmm.
And so like taster trays, I just know it just takes time to pour every little one. And then you're trying to balance 4 or 5 little glasses on a piece of wood. And so from the beginning, I was like, we're not doing taster trays,
Yeah.
We give out little samples so you can sample everything you wanted. And then
it's like a taster tray, but for free.
Pretty much.
I had no idea. I'd like to change my order.
Yeah. So,
I'd like to not order anything. For real.
I'll try 3 through 15.
It's
a bad business model, by the way. Maybe reconsider.
Yeah, and I've been convinced that we're gonna introduce taster trays because it's just becoming so common at pretty much every location. So
yeah,
people keep demanding it almost. So
well, plus since you're if you want to attract like people like out of town guests, they're gonna want to come in and taste everything.
Yeah.
At some point, I want to. Yeah, I want to taste everything, but I'm not.
There's like a beer tours bus that would come around and they'd let us know. It's like, hey, we got 15 people coming in, and at that point, like we'd fill full tasters, the 5 ounces, and just give them rounds. They all taste 6 or 7 different beers. But when we get super busy and somebody's we got 15 people deep in a line and somebody wants a taster tray, it's like
why you charge them money for them.
Yeah, charge them premium. They're $15.
That's right. They're 6.
But yeah, we're going to be introducing those pretty soon.
Cool. I'm looking forward to it. I'll have to bribe Austin again to get him to bring me out here. But
we'll see if you can afford it after today.
Once you guys scale up, are you looking to doing any kind of bottle finish stuff?
Any kind of what?
Bottle finish.
We want to do a can line, but we'll just contract that out and have mobile canner come in. That's kind of the stepping stone. But we want to kind of play around with some, throwing some like the Winterfall Stout into like some barrels or something like that, and just and go that route. But yeah, it's right now is how much space do we have? But definitely in the future.
I'm looking forward to buying it at stores in Florida.
Yeah.
He's looking forward to selling it to you. Right.
Yeah. It's a good relationship.
We're almost there.
We're getting there.
So I don't know how much Jose told you about our podcast, but it's about beer and the occult. So I feel like I have to ask, what's the weirdest thing that's ever happened to you while you've been brewing?
The weirdest thing.
Yeah.
I don't know if there's anything that was like weird, but more of just like mistakes.
Mistakes?
You never had Saint Germain show up and tell you how to brew a batch of beer or anything.
Or no. Bigfoot, like Bigfoot doesn't like wander by the brewery and
that's this hood, right? This is where Bigfoot.
Yeah. We got the sign that, you know, this is the Forest Service of Sasquatch. So.
Yeah, I feel like Bigfoot might be nearby right now.
Yeah.
Maybe
anything weird.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't think of anything that was too crazy or weird.
No, nothing. I mean, it's...
No, like, brewery ghosts or...
No, well... You
well, know, sometimes we... a CO2.
CO2.
Yeah. Or, you know, we have a pretty much like a homemade glycol system, and, you know, we'd have, like, a pump that just wanted to keep tripping like a GFCI, and it worked for days, and all of a sudden, that one pump kept tripping, and it's like, we couldn't figure it out. So, yeah, somebody was playing games with us.
You
know, either that or, you know, the learning that when we brew, especially a bigger beer like our Winter Fall Stout, that a 5-gallon bucket isn't going to hold everything to blow off. So then come walking in and like, the brewery floor is covered in beer. And it's like, well, I can invite about 10 friends over with some straws and we can stick
them. No.
Don't want to waste it because, you know, it's like, you know, it's only 2 barrels.
I don't know if anybody who hasn't made beer understands the amount of gross crap that comes out of beer while it's fermenting.
It's all alive. It's alive.
I remember the first time I went to the Rogue Brewery in Newport, or wherever their main brewery is. And, I mean, their brewery is kind of grimy. And all of Newport is sort of grimy, right? See, and it was like this...
It's just wet. It's like, oh, yeah. Wet.
Yeah, and it was like this miserable day where the sky was just like pissing on us. And I walk in there, and right next to one of their big fermentation vessels was their blow-off bucket. And it was so gross. And it was in like... It was really going. It was like... It was... right next to the front door. I'm just like, oh, well, still going to drink the beer.
Cleaning is worse.
Yeah. I've heard the job of a brewer described as you're pretty much just a person who cleans, which I assume is Jose's job since he's the assistant brewer.
Yes, that is correct. Well, I do more than that. I also provide ideas for brewing, but cleaning, I think, in Silver Falls brewing standards of cleaning, they're up there, and we do not like having messes, so we maintain pride in that, as well as, yeah, cleaning is 90% of the work of the brewer, for sure.
Yeah.
So, the system brewer.
Yeah, it is.
Excuse me. Andrew's gonna listen to this.
Right, I assume the main job of the brewer is to tell the assistant brewer, hey, you missed a spot.
You missed a spot. I don't know about that.
So it's a 90% cleaning, 5% brewing, 5% drinking the beer?
That's correct.
Well, you know, Jose brought something to the table, like when we started brewing this last summer together, is that he doesn't drink a beer when he's brewing.
What?
It's only afterwards.
My superstition is...
Doesn't that change the quality of the beer?
I think we kind of rubbed off on him a little bit. So I've seen him have some taste tests of some beer when he's brewing. So it takes beer to make beer, I
think. You have to be like, oh, second taste.
True.
Third taste.
It's more like that. It's like, first taste.
I feel like those hops really numbed my palate. I better have another one.
I need to cleanse it with another taster.
So I would really love to have the stout, the Winterfall Stout. Yeah, I've heard stories.
I'll do one of those too, please. I'm gonna do the 1933.
I'll finish this one first.
Yeah, I'm still nursing on that.
What did you pick, Eric?
I got a Silver Eclipse IPA.
And is that do you guys have an IPA standard that you do all the time, or is, because I notice you've got 2 IPAs and an Imperial up there.
So our first IPA that we came out with was Over the Edge IPA, and it's definitely changed quite a bit since we first brewed it.
Mm-hmm.
Just because, like what I said before, we're always trying to make it a little bit better every time. And that was kind of like the main IPA that we started out with. And then this last year when we had the solar eclipse, we did kind of a collaboration with Goshi Farms where we used all Centennial hops from Goshi Farms, which is about 2 miles from the brewery.
Mm-hmm.
So we did this a traditional style IPA with their previous year's harvest. And then during the eclipse, they were harvesting the Centennials. So then a few days after the eclipse, since they were harvesting it, we actually went and did a fresh version of it, and which was came out amazing. And so we just continued pretty much the Silver Eclipse IPA from then on. So it's kind of like another IPA that's pretty much year round.
You just travel the world harvesting opposite eclipses? Or?
Yeah, it's a great idea.
Yeah.
It's all right off.
That sounds affordable.
Well, they make so much money in the beer brewing business now.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
This is a write-off. You got to figure out how to spend all that profit.
It's just lucrative, right?
Yeah.
Right? Like, you'd have to have a warehouse for all of your cash.
Yeah, you just bury it in the backfield right now.
Right.
That's right.
You guys use a lot of local Oregon hops?
Just our scale right now is that, you know, we try to use as much as we can locally, but we pretty much use kind of either like YCH hops, which is like a co-op anyway, so we got a lot of the farmers and stuff. We get some pellets and stuff locally. A lot of the farmers will send their leaf to either like Crosby, and they can eat Atlanta hops as a pelletizer, and then they bring it back and sell it. So yeah, we try to use as much as we can locally. Once we get to a scale where, we can buy, you know, if we have a contract with a hop farmer locally, you know, that's where it would be more, we can advertise more of like, hey, you know, this beer is made 100% from Silverton.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm ready for this stout.
For it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice. Well done.
Wow, that's good. It's smooth. It's really smooth. And I'm going to blame that on the water again.
It's water.
I'm going to try.
Are you doing anything with any kind of barrel aging, oak aging, or anything like that?
Nothing yet. No.
We just use spirals.
So these guys know. I've been playing around a lot lately with oak spirals.
Okay.
And, I find it's like a fantastic way to do like a test batch of something that you want to oak.
Okay.
Mainly what I do is just buying random alcohols or making a cocktail and then aging it in a barrel with an oak spiral, which has a lot of surface area. And it's a really fast shortcut to proving a test batch.
Yeah.
And then you can scale it up to a barrel as you want to.
Also, didn't you say it makes bad bourbon better?
No, I said it makes Old Crow, which is a good bourbon, even better.
A lot of opinions getting tossed around here.
Yeah.
Yeah, once we have, you know, the space to be able to do a stack of barrels and stuff, we've been talking about it for a while now that we want to do.
This stout is really good. It's got a very kind of like, I don't know if I want to call it chocolatey, but it's got like a great mouth feel, and then there's this delicious kind of coffee-ish roasty nose to it, and I just want to chug it. I don't think that's a good idea.
Well, check the alcohol content.
Just already drinking it really fast. It's like, okay, slow down.
Do you guys suggest it's consumed through a straw then?
Intravenously is probably the best method.
maybe teaspoon by teaspoon.
Yeah, so that one is... So that one ranges in about 8.3, 8.5% alcohol, and we kind of locally source. There's a local coffee company called Silver Falls Coffee Company, and so we actually cold brew a couple gallons of coffee into it, and add that to the fermenter, and we also add cacao nibs. So that's where
the richness comes
from. So we use chocolate malts and I think like a roasted barley in it as well. So, but it's really hard when you get those malts together. You can get that chocolate flavor, but it's hard to get that like richness. from it.
And then what about
so
the
adding that chocolate?
What about the body? It's got a lot of body. How do you get that?
That comes from just the mash. So just being able to mash on slightly higher temperatures.
Cool. I like this beer.
Thank you. Cheers.
Gross.
Yeah. Cheers.
You gonna have any submissions for the Festival of the Dark Arts this year?
Oh yeah, good question.
No,
because I feel like this would go great.
Yeah, probably would.
Yeah,
because that's coming up, I think.
February.
February 17th.
Yeah. 17th, that'd be on February.
Tried to convince my wife to spend her birthday weekend up there, but that was a no-go.
You could have combined it all with Valentine's Day. Yeah. It's really knocked it all out.
Yeah, yeah. That's her birthday. It's Valentine's Day. So.
Oh,
perfect.
Dang.
Yeah, way to stack it. Yeah.
So what happens when you forget her birthday?
Well,
you remember Valentine's Day, so you...
Yeah, no.
He's still married, so it probably hasn't happened.
Yeah. We don't know yet.
I gotta go big on February. But yeah, it's... But we did submit six of our beers up to the Oregon Beer Awards, so we're super excited about that. And I mean, just at the least getting some great feedback on what we've created.
Mm-hmm. Have you guys won any awards yet?
This is actually going to be the first competition that we've entered. Beers,
so. That's exciting.
Yeah. So no, we haven't won any awards yet.
So that's cool. We're kind of like interviewing you before you really make it big. Like you know, you're still one barrel, no awards, and then like next year you're going to be like smoking cigars and coming to work in your Ferrari.
Bunch of medals on the wall. We're excited to really dive into the craft industry more than we have, and we've been just kind of pretty quiet this last 2 years, just kind of getting established and getting the name set and kind of like our mission and our goals and right now we're ready to step it up. And,
cool. Well, from what I've tasted of your beers, I feel like you're ready also.
Great. Thank you.
Yeah. This facility is beautiful. I mean, this is really nicely well done. Wow. It's a comfortable space.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, thank you. It's pretty casual, family friendly here. Pretty clean, and a lot of love went into this place. So.
Yeah, it's nice looking. And you have like a full food menu, I assume. You just sort of.
We have an on-site food cart that's kind of like our permanent food cart. They act as our kitchen. So they're
Loco
Catering and Barbecue. So,
okay, cool.
Yeah, so it's been great having them. We're really fortunate to have them. And they make just amazing barbecue.
I saw some little sandwiches slide by earlier.
Yeah.
They look pretty tempting.
Yes.
As a man who loves little sandwiches, I can tell you. They looked good.
Yeah. Do you like the little sandwiches because they remind you of wheels?
I just like to feel like a giant when I consume food. Another reason to get the samplers.
Yeah.
The small little glasses.
Yeah, because they make people feel really important. I'm so much bigger than my beer and my sandwich.
They feel better.
Four beers. A little look. 12 ounces.
Well, I don't know if I have any more questions about your beer and brewery and stuff, but...
What are some of the things people can do in Silverton before they come visit your brewery? I know there's a lot of stuff to do here in the summer.
Is there like...
You just opened a big plethora of answers.
We got the Oregon Gardens right up the road, right?
Oregon Gardens.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
I feel a little ignorant of this part of the state. I don't think... I've only been to Silverton like twice before.
They have a lovely winter garden, too.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Oregon Gardens puts on an amazing brewfest every year.
Oh, really?
So...
Cool. Give it the time, Eric. You should learn more about beer.
Eric, I feel like I need to drag you down here every season.
And the Oregon Gardens, they put on a really good brew fest. It's all outdoors in the forest up there.
Mm-hmm.
They got usually like 60 different breweries and a handful of ciders.
Well, that sounds fun.
But it's one of like, I think it's one of the best festivals in the state.
Mm-hmm.
Just because it's not like super crowded. It's easy to get to. It's a great, surroundings. And you have, at least on our end, it's like we have a lot of the the brewers that actually come to this one.
Mm-hmm.
Because we can, you know, it's like we get together and we just start, you know, sharing ideas or sharing beer, you know, we just start talking. And some other, you know, festivals and stuff, it's not all of the head brewers or brewers show up to. So,
mm-hmm.
But it's one of the ones that a lot of them come to.
Well, that sounds pretty cool. And is it mostly breweries from outside of Portland that go to it, or you get a lot of Portland guys there too?
It's just from all over the place, all over the state.
Oh.
They come. So I mean, a lot of the Portland brewers are down, but you know, we get some from Bend and we get some from down south, and mm-hmm. So it's a lot of breweries that it's a good, you know, variety of different breweries across the state.
Cool.
If you like, you know, Silverton's known for all their murals.
Uh-huh.
So there's just, I don't know how many we're up to now, but just a lot of different murals, a lot of different history in this town that's portrayed through the murals.
Mm-hmm.
First transsexual mayor in the United States, too.
Yep.
First, correct. Really?
Stu
Rasmussen. A lot of history here.
Yeah. Stu's he's a good guy.
Local celebrity, right?
Yeah. And then, of course, we got Silver Falls State Park, which is, you know, amazing to stop, have a beer.
Mountain bike.
Get a growler, head up to the mountain, head around to the park, and do some hiking. And then, of course, you get hungry, you come back down and have some more beer and food. And
liquid bread.
Liquid bread. Yeah.
We have a pale ale, like a session pale ale that's called Catamount Trail Ale. Catamount Trail is a big mountain biking trail that's been put in the last couple of years, and they just doubled the size of it. And so, if you've got a mountain bike and want to do some downhill riding, it's one of the best trails around.
Well, in Palmsville, which isn't very far from here, is one of the top world's skate parks.
Oh, wow. That
almost
really?
Everybody knows about. Yeah. It's literally one of the best skate parks in the world. It's a very, very short distance from here.
And you can totally drive here without going through Salem if you're worried about crime.
Or corrupt politicians.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, I get a lot of friends that live up in Portland. It's a nice little drive down here, you know, 45 minutes or so, mm-hmm. or what,
59 minutes from 39th and Division if you're eating breakfast at Tom's on Sunday at 5:30 in the morning, if that happens to be your case.
Sometimes I've heard that happens.
Highway 213 is such a scenic route because you mm-hmm. go through farmland, you go through forested areas.
You go through hop fields.
I hope that you guys don't like it too. You're just going to cause like a huge population boom in Silverton if you keep talking it up like this. So just be careful. Well, property prices are going to go up. All the
right now, so good luck on finding.
Good luck on finding a house.
So, but yeah, it's a very cool, very supportive community.
Mm-hmm.
What we created here is especially with our outdoor area, our mm-hmm. house. We have people come and it's like, oh, we're just gonna come in for a drink and a beer, and it's like 4 hours later they're just hanging out. It's like, yeah, it's so nice here. We decided just to chill.
Well, I'm glad that it's such delightful weather today. That means after we're done recording, we can sit outside.
Yeah. Right. The sun's actually kind of coming out. Yeah. We got the garage door open, so it's
warm enough.
Very it's beautiful.
If you get chilly, you got some swag you can buy here. You got some sweatshirts.
That's right.
Our you guys have like,
hats.
Yeah, those are hats. Gorgeous hats, by the
you
way.
You guys have hoodies?
Yeah.
Yes, we do.
Hoodies? Yeah. Might have to get something. Here.
Growlers. Mm.
Beer.
Yeah.
Beer.
Here to go.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, thank you, guys. Thank you very much. This is an awesome opportunity. You're the first brewer who actually has a brewery that we've interviewed.
Oh, excellent. I'm honored. You know, I'm really honored that you guys, you know, wanted to come down and you know, share, you know, our experience.
Yeah. That's great. You guys do a good job with the beer, and Silverton is delightful, and this is a neat spot. I hope that weird people all over the place listen to this and decide to come and drink here.
Just for those people?
Yeah.
I guess come and visit us. We're here.
we're a little worried about this summer if what we can keep up. So, I mean, it's kind of like we're getting...
Don't show nervousness.
We're getting out. So it's like, all right, well, game on. Here we go.
You got to roll out that 10 barrel.
Yeah. Yes, we do.
Oh, and then you got to scale all your recipes up. And that's going to be exciting.
It'll be fun. It'll be, you know... it's all about trial and error and keep moving forward.
I mean, Jose, you realize that a 10-barrel system means that you're going to be cleaning 10 times more stuff.
I've done it. Don't worry. It's actually easier.
Yeah.
Believe it or not.
Yeah.
It's three easier. Of us, you know, Jose's got the actual commercial experience working in a commercial brewery. So.
Oh, really? I guess I didn't know that.
Yeah, I brewed in Canada in a 10-barrel system for a while.
That doesn't really count.
Yeah. Sorry.
Everybody knows sorry. That Canadian barrels are smaller.
Sorry. We actually work on imperial measurements and metric measurements
imperial
as well.
Imperial barrels.
Yeah, so, but yeah, we're looking forward to this next year. We got some great, some big announcements coming up later on. So,
yeah. You got a preview?
Yeah. Anything
preview for the podcast?
Yeah. Well, this podcast will probably come out on Wednesday, or maybe next Wednesday. So, so don't let out any secrets that you don't want to be revealed.
Big secrets yet?
Okay.
No. But you know, just if you're listening, you know, hey, follow us on Facebook. That's our main thing. We're not too.
We're working on some projects as well.
Yeah.
We have some big projects coming up. So.
If you come in and mention the podcast, you get the first 5 beers free, right? That's still the deal?
Yeah, the 1 ounce.
The 1 ounce. The beers that make you feel giant.
I'm just trying to push
maybe,
a little business.
Maybe the big announcement is that they're going to be rolling out taster trays. That's very exciting.
It's exciting for us. So. Yeah. Yes, taster trays.
Well, cool. All right. And so you're on Facebook. I'll link to that, and then we're in downtown Silverton, Oregon. You can look that up on the
internet. It's Mac in the center.
Yep.
Right downtown. It's a great place to come. I mean, there's lots of little shops, and you can go for a walk. You can got a lot going on downtown.
Cool. Well, thanks. All right.
Thank you.
All right. Hey, internet. We want to talk to you a little bit more at the end of the episode about the jalapeno poppers at this place called Max. What are we called?
Max in Silverton.
Max in Silverton.
It's on the Oak and Water.
It's the oldest building in town, right? Like, it's the only building that didn't get burned down twice during two fires. Anyhow.
Yeah. Nate said yes.
Nobody can hear Nate, but he's saying yes.
He's without a doubt here in person.
So, in Max, they have jalapeno poppers, and they are delicious, so we would encourage you to, when you're in Silverton, stop by Max.
Well, they're jalapeno sour cream stuffed jalapeno poppers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and the jalapenos are red.
Yeah.
And they're very spicy, and they have some additional peppers on the outside, also delicious.
All right, thanks. Thanks for tuning in. Have a great evening. I'm not going to be able to do that.